Empower Radio presents The Miracle of Healing with Lisa Campion. Meet healers, learn different modalities, and hear empowering stories of people on their healing journey. The Miracle of Healing on Empower Radio. Here's your host, Lisa Campion.
There, I'm Lisa Campion, and this is The Miracle of Healing on Empower Radio, where conscious people come together to explore the world of healing and heal the planet, one person at a time. So, super cool guest today, we have Dr. Jeff Schmidt. He is one of the world's most respected experts in the field of ethnobotany and really focusing on actually tobacco and how tobacco has gone from being like a very powerful, sacred, special healing herb in our tribal days to being very overused, painfully overused and terribly overused in our modern culture. And Dr. Schmidt has made like a life's work of this. So he came into this as a scientist. He's also a musician. And when he, somewhere along the line, he became a folk healer and studied all this, you know, studied with these incredible folk healing people in Peru and North America. So it's a really interesting guy. And I'm super happy to speak with you today on this topic, Jeff.
Lisa, great to be with you and all your listeners. Thanks for the invitation.
Yeah, thanks. So you have a really fascinating background. You were a scientist. You started your life as a scientist. Is that true?
Yes, and you know, sort of once a scientist, always a scientist. I really, and one of my great joys is bridging the gaps between the Western scientific worldview and spiritual and native modalities. So I work in that space quite a bit.
And how did you sort of make the leap from science into this whole other realm, this sort of, you know, non-ordinary reality, or this expanded consciousness realm that you're also a part of?
Well, it was certainly nothing planned. I, for many, many years, practiced Chinese martial arts and inner alchemy. And if someone would have told me 30 years ago that I'd be doing what I do now, I probably would have laughed at them. You know, these sorts of things, especially to the medicine paths of the Americas, you know, one is called to. It's not something you just kind of wake up one day and go, oh, wouldn't that be neat? So my relationship with tobacco is certainly multifaceted and has spanned almost three decades now. And I first learned about the amazing and surprising properties of this plant as a neuroscience researcher, and then in sort of a double life, I started encountering it in my studies as a student of indigenous healing techniques, and it's become one of my primary plants that I work with, and it's been a teacher and a guide, and I am doing my very best to share not only the deeper truth about what this plant is all about, but also help people move from a place of unhealthy dependence to a place of healthy understanding and relations with this very, very powerful plant.
Yeah, I'm not surprised that tobacco is a powerful healer, kind of like ayahuasca, or there's many psilocybin, there's many sort of powerful, and all of our psychopharmacology comes from plants, right? And I was thinking about this, I was like, how is it that most probably Westerners, most Americans think of tobacco as sort of evil, like this evil, you know, thing that we have to get rid of, but that's not really what it is it?
Well, that's absolutely true, and unfortunately, what we have to deal with is a long history of misuse and abuse going back to the 1600s and 1700s when Europe was absolutely flooded with tobacco for the first time, and it became all the rage and started causing health problems. You know, tobacco was also used very divisively by conquering European cultures to, along with alcohol, to essentially enslave and destabilize cultures that they wanted to take over. So, you know, fast forward that story all the way to, you know, World War II, where our burgeoning media machine, in combination with early social engineering efforts, basically wanted to do everything opposite of what Hitler did and believed. And Hitler was actually vehemently anti-smoking. So what you saw at that time was a romanticization of tobacco and smoking. It was part of a GI's rations. Almost every movie produced at that time, and for probably more than a decade later, everybody was smoking. Smoking was woven into the fabric of American identity, and as a consequence, many large tobacco companies built empires that inarguably ended up contributing to some of the biggest health crises that that we've faced in the developed world. So it's a very complex and interesting story. The core for me is that you misuse a powerful tool and you reap very serious consequences.
So I'm curious, like, what, thank you for that explanation, because, you know, I hadn't really thought about kind of the socioeconomic and political implications of it too. I was thinking more about the health, you know, and our, and how it impacts our psyches, but of course, you know, it does have a huge impact on our political and social landscape as well. It always has. I mean, it's been a big part of our world, but as you were talking about that, I was kind of seeing like tobacco as sort of having this shadow, like a shadow and a light side to it. You know, the shadow side is this tool for control and this, you know, source of ill health for us. What is the possible for the light side of it? Like, where is it? What happens to our brains when we do it? And what's the light possible, the light side possible?
Well, this is a really interesting question. And, you know, I firmly believe that with plants, especially conscious plants that are referred to in South America as teacher plants or master plants, that they you know, they're the dark side that you're talking about has basically been the imprint of due to humans. What's interesting is if you go from Bali to the Americas and you look at origin stories, you know, how did tobacco become what it is, and what is its personality, and what does it do? There's a big connection. It's really interesting. I'm trying to make this really short. So essentially, the world creator created the earth, the waters, the mountains, whatever, and basically created all the plant people, and didn't know exactly what the plants were going to do. So he took all the plants and put them in a long line, he or she, and one at a time, she asked Mr. Plant, Mrs. Tree, what will you do on this earth? And it turns out that young tobacco was all the way at the end of the line, but blessed with very good hearing. So he heard the aspirations of all the other plants, what they wanted to do as a job on this earth. And so by the time young tobacco was ready to speak with the world creator, he was just beside himself and basically said, I want to do everything that everybody, all the other plants said that they would do. And the world creator said, wow, gosh, that's really interesting. We don't have a plant like that. So be it. Now, it's interesting. From Bali to the Americas, that is a shared story about the origin of this plant. Now, fast forward to modern neuroscience and a lot of the work that I was centrally involved in. It turns out that on the neurophysiological level, there's been no other substance discovered that does what nicotine and tobacco do. And that is exactly that's what that story of origin says. You as the person ingesting the tobacco, especially in its smoked form, can decide consciously or unconsciously what the outcome is going to be. You can use it as a stimulant, a relaxant, a memory, or a focus enhancer, a euphoriant. The effects go on and on and on, and you steer it as the person ingesting the tobacco or the smoke. There's no other plant that's ever, no other substance that we know of that does anything like this, and it is exactly a modern variation of the origin story. It's a, you know, tobacco is a Swiss Army knife for brain states and for cognition. And that, in principle, you know, what I say is that there's no wonder that people slip into unhealthy relationships with this plant because it has such powerful effects on cognition.
Hmm. That's so cool. I've never heard it described that way, but I have sort of also a love-hate relationship with tobacco. Like, I've never been addicted to tobacco, but I do love it. Like, if somebody's smoking, I secretly, like, sniff it. I'm like, you know, like, I want to get in the smell of it. and yet it's so sad because so many people die. It's created such pain and havoc and in our world. And I know that you've focused your work at this point on helping people find a really holistic and kind recovery method. I was looking through your website, which is called All My Relations, and I'm wondering if we can talk about that, and if before we talk about how your take on it, which is so loving and compassionate, can you explain a little bit even what All My Relations means to you? And what
yeah,
it means
sure.
Because
well, so,
it's a big word, but what does it mean?
So the reason that I called my platform All of My Relations is because, truthfully, our unhealthy relationships, our unhealthy bonding relationships, our dependencies that don't serve us in a greater way, are usually symptoms of something that is much deeper, a yearning, a need, an emptiness, a need to numb. And in the cosmovision, in the view of ancient and indigenous cultures, one strives to be in right relationship with all things, to be in balance and reciprocity, and that starts with you as a person. You know, it's like, how are you feeding yourself? How are you caring for yourself? How do you see yourself? Are you beating yourself up all the time? And are you caught in cycles of the shame game? You know, what's really going on? And what I've found in my years of spiritual counseling and mentorship, I found that that the place that addiction and dependence programs forget is you got to start with the relationship with yourself. Getting to be compassionate, objective, present with your embodied sense of being, and to come to understand that our bodies are our greatest teachers, and that everything that we need to live an awakened life is right here underneath our skin. Our relationship with tobacco, if it's addictive or dependent, can be much more easily unraveled and changed if we first address our relationship with ourselves. And part of that is being sort of like an explorer, being curious. You know, what does it actually mean when I'm feeling uncomfortable? What does it mean when I'm actually craving something? Getting really curious and staying open, just like I tell people, forget everything that you've ever been told about tobacco and approach it with the beginner's mind, using Buddhist terminology. Coming from a place of unknowing, of receptivity and curiosity helps rewire our neurophysiology and helps open up our body's deepest healing capacity. So what I'm trying to do without being overt about it is to bring to the fore as much wisdom teachings that I've learned from around the world, not only about tobacco itself, but about how do we actually achieve a healthy, balanced life that is in right relations with all things. So I hope that helps.
Yeah, it did. And I listened to one of your meditations. So your process is it's like a process you could go through on your own. If you go into the website, there's three segments of training or introspection that you offer, and there it's like guided meditations with drumming. Is that how you're approaching it mostly?
Well, so yeah, there are three components. The first component is guided exercises that touch upon themes that underlie all of our connection and dependence on the outer world and our relationship with ourselves. And those are paired with musical journeys that you listen to in a relaxed state with headphones. And those journeys have embedded in them cutting-edge brain state technology. And what each of the recordings do is help you achieve various meditative and empowered brain states to help you get the fuel, the energy, and the momentum to move from one state to a better state, to actually be able to make good on and integrate what the point of a particular exercise is in. So we guide you through month by month the process. And then the third component, we ask you to have a journal, and we ask you to just to do some very simple occasional self-reflection so you can, as a piece of getting clear with yourself, and also a way to look back retrospectively and sort of measure your change. And what we've seen so far is that people short of the 6 month long program actually start seeing dramatic shifts. The point is not about never touching tobacco again. I mean, that would be a great outcome. But some of my clients and students and people who've been through this actually come to a place where they might have some organic tobacco sitting in a sacred place in their house, and once a month or once every couple of weeks they'll sit and pray or meditate and use it in the traditional way, which, by the way, includes not putting it in your lungs.
Wow, that's so interesting. So I had a couple thoughts on it and listening to your guided meditation, which is beautiful. There's drumming and it's very peaceful. And I noticed you concentrated on breathing, and really conscious breathing, really conscious expanding the amount of time that you hold your breath, and this triangular breathing that you do. And I remember when the few times when I was real younger and more smoking, one of the things that I liked the most about it was breathing. It's like the first thing you do is, you know, you take a big, huge inhale breath. And I would always think like, oh, that's the thing. Like, you know, and when I quit by just holding on to the breathing and letting go of the cigarette, you know, like I can breathe without a cigarette.
Well, this is such an important piece of it. I'm really glad that you brought it up. Breath occupies a very interesting position in our physiology, because it is at once autonomic. You know, it's something that happens all the time, whether we think about it or not. And it's actually almost impossible to stop it for too awfully long. We have so many fail safes in our system, but we are able also to control it. So it's like a bridge between the conscious and the unconscious, between the mind and the body. It is a bridge. And, you know, wise people have been telling this to us for thousands of years. You go all the way back to the earliest Vedic writings and the Upanishads, and there's a quote that says, consciousness is like a kite, breath the string that guides it. So indeed, we definitely use and acknowledge breath for many different reasons, including the one that you mentioned there. It's very important in this process to get people connected with their lungs, because if you are smoking in your tobacco use, then your lungs are taking a pretty significant hit.
Yeah, and I think too sort of about the corruption of tobacco. Like, so most of us Westerners who smoke, we're not smoking organic pure tobacco in a pipe. We're smoking chemical laden tobacco and you know, with a filter on it. And I don't know if this is still true, but I think I remember hearing once that, you know, the tobacco companies add just like hundreds of chemicals into the tobacco to increase your addiction, to smooth out the taste, to do all kinds of nefarious things. It's sort of like this corrupted version of the plant teacher that we're imbibing. It's kind of gross, really.
Yeah, I can't speak with any authority on that topic, but I have heard similar things. And, you know, it does raise the issue of our lust in this culture is to commoditize everything. And there are certain things that I firmly believe that are not supposed to be commoditized. faith, you know, spirituality, sacred plants. You know, these things aren't, and even healing plants. Some might even argue that a commercial herbal medicine system will never achieve what the plants and the people who are herbalists really want it to, because it's not a commodity. It's about deeper relationships than shoving something into a bottle and putting it on a drugstore shelf. So likewise, I think that when you began to commoditize tobacco, it was just yet one of many more insults against what this plant represents. And also, it's like, you know, bringing a chainsaw into your kitchen to slice your bread with. I mean, you're going to make a mess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have my children are like young adults now, and I feel like there's sort of this new relationship with smoking and tobacco that's come through vaping. That's really even totally different from smoking a pack of Marlboros like we did when we were kids, you know. What do you think of that, and would this program that you have work for that as well?
Yes, thank you for asking that. And as a matter of fact, my hope and prayer is that one day this program will be extended to just about every area where people are seeking to be in better and more healthy relationship with the outside world. Vaping is a new frontier, and you know what we're seeing now that it's been on the scene long enough, we're starting to see emerge the long-term health effects, especially with young people. And the path into the lungs is the same, even though the carrier is different. And when nicotine is brought into the lungs, what happens, it's really interestingly, so what happens is that the concentration of nicotine in the blood immediately spikes. It rises so fast, and almost like a slap. And the power that comes with that spike of nicotine in the bloodstream is what actually helps us achieve different states of cognitive awareness. And nicotine, whether smoked or vaped, you know, basically goes to the deepest circuitry in our brain. And if you do this for a long time, we have to acknowledge that there are physiological changes that begin to happen, so that one actually does have, depending on the person, a variety of withdrawal symptoms and a variety of severity. So that has to be addressed too. But vaping is something that this program would work well for.
Great. So how can people find it? How can they contact you? How can they find your beautiful program?
Well, thank you. So it's allofmyrelations.com is the website, and there are there's quite considerable free content and some videos and recordings to introduce you to the program, so you can sort of test drive it a bit. We've aimed at making it extremely affordable, anywhere from a quarter to a third of one's monthly spend on cigarettes if you're a smoker. It's a 6-month program, and you can pay up front or pay monthly. And also contact information to get in touch with me if you have questions. Please do reach out in that way through the website.
Well, thank you, Dr. Jeff Schmidt, for being with us today and for the work that you're doing. I think it's super important, and I'm so glad you're doing it.
Well, thank you, Lisa. It's been a pleasure to speak with you today.
And thank all of you guys for being with us today here on Empower Radio. You can find me on my website, lisacampion.com. Come by and visit. I'd love to hear from you or see you. And thanks for being here again. It's so wonderful to have you here on The Miracle of Healing, where we are healing the planet one person at a time, right here on Empower Radio.